Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Giribhara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vinachadi Jamunatira Vinachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihadi Madhava Kunjabihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihadi Madhava Kunjabihadi Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vinachadi Jamuna Tira Vinachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihadi Madhava Kunjabihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihadi Jayom Vishnupad Parabaham Astatarasata Sri Sri Madhya's Divine Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 57. Canto 10, Chapter 16. Tvaya Shrishtamidam Vishvam Dathar Kuna Visarjanam Nana Swabhava Viryau Jo Yoni Bija Shayakriti Tvaya Shrishtamidam Vishvam Dhattar Gunavasarjanam Nana Swabhava Viryau Jo Yoni Bija Shayakriti. Svaya Shishtamidam Vishvam. Dattar Guna Visarjanam. Nana Subhava Viryajo. Yoni Bija Shayakriti. Tvaya, by you, Krishtam created, Idam, this, Vishvam, universe, Dataha, O Supreme Provider, Guna, of the material modes, Visarjanam, the variegated creation, Nana, various, Swabhava, personal natures, Virya, varieties of sensory strength, Ojaha, and physical strength, Yoni, wombs, Bija, seeds, Ashaya, mentalities, Akriti, and forms. Translation, O Supreme Creator, it is you who generate this universe composed of variegated arrangements of the material modes, and in the process you manifest various kinds of personalities and species, varieties of sensory and physical strength, and varieties of mothers and fathers with variegated mentalities and forms. Purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada, his disciples. Commenting on this verse, Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the Narada Purana as follows, quote, from Hiranyagarbha, Brahma, comes the second creation of this universe. But the universe is primarily created by Vishnu himself. Vishnu is thus the primary creator, and four-headed Brahma is merely the secondary creator, unquote. Now, two more commentaries. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quote, this is now paraphrasing Kaliya's words. You have made a universe with great variety through operation of the gunas, parentheses, gunayar, visarjanam, colon, a variety of natures, various strengths of bodies, and sensory organs, parentheses, virya, comma, oja, distinctions of mother and father, yoni and bija, and various desires, and various forms, unquote. So all that is being attributed to Krishna. There's intermediaries. Principle is Lord Brahma, but he is the original cause. Jiva Goswami writes, he, that's Kaliya, elaborates in 1.5 verses, quote, Brahma carries out creation, not me, that's Krishna, thinking or speaking, and so Kaliya is responding to that. In reply, Kaliya says, O creator, Datar, you create in that particular form, unquote. Swabhava refers to qualities like peacefulness. Virya is strength of the body, and ojas is strength of the senses. Yoni refers to mother, and bija refers to father. Ashaya refers to desires. Akriti means form. We'll come back to these commentaries shortly, but it's significant that Madhvacharya's commentary is being quoted, in part because Madhvacharya is, this is the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, so referring to Madhva is very important. And Madhva naturally is commenting because it's about Brahma. Madhva, Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya. I don't know why, it's perhaps a reason why Madhva is being quoted here, or Madhva commented on this particular verse. Maybe it's not in the Bhagavatam commentary, but somehow he commented on this verse because it's about Brahma. And what's the relation between Brahma and Vishnu? He's the secondary and Vishnu is the primary. There's 10 topics in the Bhagavatam. Two of them is this primary and secondary, Sarga and Visarga. And of course, details are presented elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. Details, particularly third canto, lots of details, mind-blowing details. But primary, secondary. And Madhva is referring to the Narada Purana, one of the Sattvic Puranas, where it's explicit. The reference is primary, secondary. The potency of creation is Srishti Shakti. Brahma is a, among other things, he is a Shaktivesh avatar bearing the Lord's Srishti Shakti. that enables him to do the secondary creation. But he's doing what he does through the empowerment of Vishnu to do what he does. And otherwise he can't do what he does. Or the implication then in turn is all of us. We can't do anything without the empowerment to do something. So all credit goes to the source of that power to do anything. That's a principle of Krishna consciousness. And illusion says otherwise. You don't recognize that connection. You don't one acts through false ego and one becomes implicated in illusion and suffering. And, you know, ignorance is the root cause of suffering. We don't know. Or you may theoretically know, but, you know, forget. Or not really know. Theoretically know, but not practically. So bhakti is to come to the stage where one practically knows. And hearing this is to help us get there. Hearing, of all people, Kaliya the serpent. We heard yesterday that Kaliya is so smashed and his mind is so wrecked, as well as his body. He's only paraphrasing what his wives had to say, because they somehow, we don't, at least I don't know how they got the transcendental knowledge that they got, but somehow they got it from some source. And he's just repeating what he heard from his wives in a summary way. So Vishnu, or specifically in this form, Datar, the Supreme Provider. So it's one of the three principles, Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 5, Text 29. One of the three principles of being peaceful is recognizing Krishna as the provider. Or it's one of the principles of surrender. He is my maintainer. I don't have to go elsewhere. Doesn't mean I can be lazy because he's my maintainer. He'll maintain me so I don't have to do anything. He'll maintain me because he's the maintainer. We serve recognizing he is our maintainer. The Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaman Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, this verse that so many times Prabhupada quoted. Eko Bahunam, the one maintains the many. And because he's the maintainer, we serve him. Not because I get stuff, I got this business deal, I do stuff for him. But it's just the proper regard, the consciousness of respect and love and devotion arising from that respect and gratitude. So the position of Brahma is very clear from Madhva's commentary, and this verse of Kaliya. A couple other things before we go to these other commentaries. Bhagavad Gita teaches us there are two natures, Sura and Asura. So credit goes to those who recognize God, and discredit, or at least recognizing there's another class of people that don't recognize God. Then of the category of those that recognize God, there's a big gap between those that know and those that don't know. And those that know that they don't know and those that think they know. For example, I learned this from Sariputta. So I'll just take it for, you know, it's a fact. That there was a period of time. Well, there's theism and deism. The terminology is distinct. I can't remember which one is which. But one of them says God is, this is what was popular during the time of the Industrial Revolution and mechanization and inventing machines. And there was a period of time when in Germany and in Switzerland, they were really into building clocks. So it's till today, Swiss watches, Swiss clocks. So along with that notion was the idea that God is like a watchmaker or clockmaker. His role is he makes the clock, he puts it in the shop, and then people buy the clock, and then he doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. That was a concept. I forget which of the two. And then there was another one that says, no. He has continuous oversight of the clock. And then the issue was, well, if he has continuous oversight of the clock, then he takes responsibility for bad stuff. He not only made the clock, but he's permitting bad stuff. People misuse the clock, and he's responsible. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not the clockmaker has no responsibility if he makes the clock and people misuse it, or makes the creation and people misuse it. There's still some connection. But it's anyway, there was just a philosophical or theological perspective. And then there's the Bhagavad perspective. That's even, you know, like really detailed. The Sankhya section of Sarga and Visarga doesn't leave any room for wiggling. It's the Srishti, the creative potency comes from him. He invests that creative potency. Where does the picture of Lord Brahma come into Western theology? It's not there. God said, so it was, and it was good. That's, you know, Old Testament, at least Christianity and Judaism. That's, you know, the Old Testament of the Bible. But where's Brahma in the picture? You know, the secondary creator. And for that matter, what about us? You know, the Bija and the Yoni folks, the mothers and fathers. Like he's Brahma, he's the original father that without a wife. And, you know, Shatarupa and Swayambhuva Manu. And then they did the Prajapati program and then the whole lots of mothers and fathers. But where does the mother and father capacity come from? The secondary creator, sure. And then the primary creator, absolutely. So the whole picture of the absolute truth is explained in the Vedas, but who understands it clearly? Therefore, Vedanta Sutra, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam, because who understands it clearly? And then the commentaries of our acharyas that help us understand it clearly. Because without that, you know, it is perplexing. And with it, it's still perplexing. But at least, you know, there's potency in the vibration, sound vibration of our acharyas that helps make it clarity. Just like, you know, Brahma, how did he get what he got, the knowledge of everything? From mantra meditation. We do mantra meditation, and how much clarity do we have? Something. So we feel something. So we combine, you know, this knowledge of the Vedas with the mantra meditation so that we can get some clarity on
What is this? This sound vibration that's everything. It's the seed of everything. Everything is there in the Maha Mantra. And in, you know, how do you unpack that Maha Mantra? Sound vibration. The Bhagavatam. It's they're good companions. I was having this discussion with Giridhari Swami in China, because this is a little sharing, a little China vibration, sound vibration. He, wherever he goes, he didn't tell me this, actually, it was Radhacharan told me this, but wherever he goes, he just does japa workshops. And his reason, he told Radhacharan, is when he sits and chants with the devotees and he hears the sound vibration of their chanting, he has decided they need help. Just hearing the sound vibration, like, it's a behavior, but the consciousness behind the behavior and the, you know, the quality is not there. So that's his focus. And wherever he goes. And it's effective. I mean, everything takes time, but it's effective. At least people then have the resource. And then we had this discussion, open discussion, actually, during the ISKCON 50 celebration in Beijing. That was an interesting experience. The police got involved because there were so many people. Those details, skip the details. But, you know, his emphasis was on chanting in his presentation to this audience of so many people at a Holiday Inn in the outskirts of Beijing, and without the detail. So then I spoke after him and I emphasized Bhagavatam and I said, actually, they're perfect companions. And then he raised his hand from the audience and said, it's true. Whenever Prabhupada had public programs, he insisted that there was a whole display of books along with the program, because there was kirtan, there was Prabhupada, and then his book, because without his books, how are people going to understand what he said and the effect of Maha Mantra? So it is a perfect combination, of course, and in course of time, deity worship, but in China, you know, it's very circumspect about everything. It's certainly deities. At this program, and when the police got involved, the deities disappeared. Radhacharan brought his, you know, neem Gornatai deities that are perhaps half as big as our Gornatai. They're large deities, and they disappeared when the police got involved. You know, they were still there, but no one could see them because there were eyes watching what we were doing. So, deity worship. And then, one of the other two, serving the devotees and living in Chicago. And if you can't live in Vrindavan, you can be in Chicago and meditate on Vrindavan. I left my heart in Vrindavan. You know that one, t-shirt. So leave your heart in Vrindavan and your body's over here, doing some service to the disciplic succession and Krishna, Lord Brahma, and the line of disciplic succession following him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Bhagavatam is giving us clarity about who is Krishna. And Prabhupada's translation, I don't mind saying this 100 times, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Krayam Indriyai Sevan Mokihi Jivadao Swayameva Sparatyada. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada translates that verse, which doesn't say it in the verse, but by service with the tongue, by taking prasadam and service to the name, then you can understand who Krishna really is. People can read the Bhagavatam and still not get it without service to the name. But people can be in the mood of service to the name, and it's going to be a slow boat to get to understand who Krishna really is. Therefore, Bhagavatam and Nam Sankirtan, or the chanting of the name. So it's, here we are hearing from a serpent who's somehow got the mercy of his good wives, who got the mercy from we don't know who. And he got Krishna's mercy by, you know, relieving him of his envy. This swabhava of having a serpent body, he got relieved of it. Therefore, he's speaking the way that he's speaking. And he became a devotee in a serpent body with hands, palms folded before Krishna. So now a little bit about these two commentaries, Vishwanath and Jiva. It's a list of things in the verse, so both Vishwanath and Jiva speak varieties of natures. That's this swabhava word. So where does our swabhava come? We have our own. Brahma karma swabhava jam, kshatriya karma swabhava cham, etc., etc. We have psychophysical nature. Where does it come from? It's a potency that comes from the source of all swabhavas, Krishna. And Krishna is reciprocating through gunayar visarjanam, through the gunas, operating through the gunas, guna visarjanam. So he is remote control, maya jakshena prakriti, suyate sa characharam. But the gunas are like absolutely necessary. You don't get creation without gunas. You need gunas to have creation. And where do the gunas come from, and who is overseeing them? It's not, you know, the clockmaker. There's absolute, this is through Vishnu expansion, while Krishna is engaged in his activities in Vrindavan, his Vishnu expansion is overseeing the gunas. So he's overseeing the gunas, Krishna, in this form of yours. That's the language of the translation, commentary. So there's a variety of natures, various strengths of bodies, virya. There's physical strength and there's spiritual strength, and Krishna is the source of both, because he's the source of everything. Now he, through his expansion, Balaram, we heard this on Balaram's appearance day, he's the source of spiritual strength. And he's the source of material strength too. But so Krishna is the source of Balaram, so he's the source of everything. And Oja, sense organs, distinctions of mother and father. No, he could have created where there's no distinctions, but he created where there's distinctions. And there's mother and father distinctions, and he's the source of that. And one cannot become a mother or a father without the empowerment of Krishna to become a mother or a father, or to have a body, to have anything. Various desires. Do we have free will or not? We have free will. So where does the free will capacity come from? From the source of everything, as everything comes from its source. Our capacity to have free will is invested in the living entity, because the living entity is part and parcel, but the capacity to have free will, to have desire, originates in Krishna, as does everything. And then there's material spiritual desire. So we're advised to move to the spiritual desire side, not to stop desire. But the capacity to do either, the marginal potency position, is resting upon Krishna. And then Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12, when the 24 elements mix, then you get this and that desire. It's just the material elements influencing the desire of the soul if we look towards identification with matter. And we don't have to look towards identification with matter. It's a free will option. But, as we heard yesterday, once you have a body and a mind, you can't get free from that without Krishna. Try it. You can't. Even take, you know, chanting and try to chant Krishna's holy name with rapt attention without relying upon Krishna to help you. You can't. That's a nice realization. Therefore, I'm dependent, not independent. Very, very nice realization. Or, you know, go on book distribution. Try to distribute books without being dependent. It's miserable. Even if somebody's good at it, it's miserable. I'm remembering this story, I won't give the name. One Prabhupada disciple was really powerful in book distribution. So this devotee was taking a group of devotees through JFK and distributing books and showing everybody how to distribute books. You know, role model or the exemplar, the acharya of book distribution. And person after person after person after person are rejecting them. And they turned to those that were following this person and said, I got puffed up. I'm thinking I'm a great book distributor. I'm going to show you how to do it. Therefore, Krishna is not allowing me to do anything because I've forgotten relying upon him. And as soon as that light went on, everyone was saying yes instead of no. I mean, it's not that if people say no, you're not being empowered. But if people say yes, the indication is there's some gift from Krishna there. Even just to be there doing that service is a gift from Krishna. It's a great, it's a fantastic opportunity to learn Krishna consciousness through book distribution. I mean, other services too, do deity worship, and I'm sure it's superlative to learn about being in the mood of service to the deity and the reciprocation that comes and what happens when you're not like that and how you feel. And you know, there's intimacy in direct services to Krishna of any kind, but I learned a lot from book distribution about false egos and no, it's miserable. Whether you get a result, you don't get a result. It's miserable. Jiva Goswami's commentary, then we're done. Kali is elaborating on 1.5 verses. Krishna is objecting, wait a minute, Brahma carries out creation, not me. So, anticipating Krishna's mind, or Kaliya says, oh, creator, you create in that particular form. Now, in that particular form is Krishna in Vrindavan, dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. He's doing it. Remote control. He's the non-doer and he's the doer, which is double talk. I create Chaturvarna Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. He creates the four, but yet the non-doer. He does through the agency of others. And in his Vrindavan feature is unique. Unlike the other features of Krishna's expansions, it's unique. Everything is resting on him at the same time he's not there. It's a mystery. chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita. It's a total mystery. And how are you going to understand that mystery if you don't have the disciplic succession, acharyas, to explain? You won't. You'll come up with something else, generally an impersonal conception, or a polytheistic conception, or something or other conception, a misconception. Swabhava refers to qualities like peacefulness. Now, in the chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna's, chapter 10, where Arjuna has asked Krishna, please describe ways in which I can always think of you. One of those sections is a whole series of verses where it's female qualities. Of women you are, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So this is one of those qualities. You know, be peaceful is a female quality. Well, it's not just, everything is Krishna, but it's a nurturing type of quality that souls have because they're neither, you know, in a bodily sense, male or female. If they're endowed with qualities by Krishna, they have it, male or female. But it's not a male peacefulness and a female peacefulness. It's peacefulness, according to our spiritual nature. Virya is strength of body, and ojas is strength of the senses. Yoni refers to mother, and vija refers to father. Ashaya refers to desires. Akriti means form. Kaliya Uvacha. Fantastic. Here we are. Sadhaka Bhakta's hearing from Kaliya the serpent. It's really fantastic. Because he got Krishna's mercy. We're ready to hear from anyone who's got Krishna's mercy. Shukadeva Goswami is narrating, and he's, you know, an Atmarama personality, beyond Brahman realization into the Bhagavan realization into superlative degree, and he is narrating Kaliya Uvacha. We're hearing from them and our acharyas. I really like it. Okay, so Nityananda Pran, we have a microphone.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I'm not sure if I heard right. In the Jiva Goswami commentary, are the last two lines referring to Krishna, or is he referring to the material world? I somehow thought he was referring to Krishna as the last two lines as well.
Yeah.
In the different forms that he appears with different...
Well, no, the different forms... Let's take a look. Ah, now I understand your question. It's the whole verse is about creation.
Oh.
And so both are the spiritual forms of Krishna and the forms within this universe. I mean, there isn't something that doesn't. So your question is, which is he referring to? My understanding is he's referring, the whole verse is referring to the material creation. Hiranyagarbha, Brahma. Material creation. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. I somehow...
Should I read it again?
Sure. I was appreciating the other side of it, that he's calling Krishna Dhata. Dhata is the sustainer. And the Nana, Swabhava, etc. are the different forms of Krishna that appear within this universe.
Okay, well, I'll read it again. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Kaliya elaborates in 1.5 verses, quote, Brahma carries out the creation, not me, Krishna speaking or contemplating. In reply, Kaliya says, oh, creator, you create in that particular form. Now, it could be in that particular form means the form of Brahma, but Krishna is objecting, well, wait a minute, don't attribute the quality of being the creator to me because Brahma is the creator. No, you're the creator in that particular form. And it's through Krishna's potencies that creation takes place. You know, Krishna is the absolute truth from which everything comes, including creation. Oh, creator, Datar. Now, could it be read the other way?
Sure.
Hari Shyam wants to comment on this.
I have a question, Maharaj.
Totally.
Yeah,
anybody else want to comment on this little topic? Okay, go ahead.
Maharaj, multiple times in the class, you made references to how abilities come from a higher place. Abilities? Abilities, like our ability to do things,
come
from a higher place, the primary and secondary creator.
Yeah.
And one should recognize that. And without that recognition, one might not be able to utilize his or her abilities.
Well, act or false ego.
Right. So sometimes this question comes up in my mind, which is that, are we confined to operate within the abilities that we were born with?
Speak slowly. Are we confined to do what?
Are we confined to operate within the abilities we were born with, or through empowerment, one can actually exceed one's natural capacity or abilities?
What do you think? I mean, I have a clear answer. It's the second one.
There's a philosophical answer, but
it's
there's
the second one.
Yeah.
We're not confined. Krishna empowers people to do things that he wants them to do, whether it's a born quality or not. Now, he may enrich the quality that we're born with. That's one option. And he can invest us in qualities that we don't have. That's another option. What do you think? You comfortable with that, or like you're not sure about it? Or when you go the other way, what are your thoughts the other way?
It makes sense what you're saying, and I've also always believed this. But my experience is that, my observation is that certain people are good at certain things.
So that's true.
And so it seems like we're operating within the confines of our abilities, and the empowerment allows us to actualize it.
Both are true. What you just said is true. And the other is also true. I mean, as you're giving your experience, there are some people, my thought was going, some people just can't sing on tune. And for some reason, those people who can't sing on tune seem to sing really loudly. And even if you ask them sing softly, they can't sing softly, they sing loudly, and it's, you just have to like, you know, somehow rise above that sound vibration and sing a little more loudly on tune, kind of drown out the off-tune loud voice. Or some people can't play cartels properly. You know, then you correct them and they correct it, and then they go back to the other way of doing it. And this is, you know, so some people just don't have rhythm. But can Krishna give people the capacity that don't have to sing or don't have rhythm or don't have don't know how to paint. Here's a Prabhupada story. An artist, it was Jadarani, told me. She was asked by Prabhupada to paint. She'd never held a paintbrush. But she was submissive, and Prabhupada said, paint. So she painted a painting of Narada with big muscles. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, you know, he doesn't have big muscles. He's not a meat eater. And she said, well, I wanted to paint Krishna, Narada in a way that people would be attracted to. That was like her, so she, big muscles. He said, no, no. And then, so she shared that. Then later she said, Prabhupada, I've never held a paintbrush before, you asked, so should I take art lessons? Prabhupada said, no. Lean that way, Prahlad. Yeah. Prabhupada said, no. Brahma has made this creation in such a way that if you practice at something, Krishna will enable you to do that something expertly. Just paint for Krishna and everything will come to you. Now, maybe she had an ability to paint. She just hadn't picked up a paintbrush before. It was like in her genes or karma or something. Maybe she had been a fabulous artist in a previous lifetime or something. But it wasn't manifest. But that's not what Prabhupada said. Look, you don't have the quality, just make crummy paintings. Or you really need to go to, I've looked at your paintings, you need to go to. So, Krishna can empower one to do something that one otherwise cannot do. And then Krishna can take away the power, if he so desires, leaving one bereft. Examples of that in scripture also. And in practical life. Someone else. Yeah, here we go. Up front. Commentary, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, your last comment, Krishna could take away our abilities.
You remembered something. Hmm? You heard a class somewhere where Prabhupada spoke about this. Hmm? No? I'm teasing you.
When our happiness is dependent on our abilities, and Krishna takes that away, either we get an injury, let's say we are a piano player, or anything, even if we do it for Krishna, a lot of times...
Can you speak slowly? Yeah. A lot of times what happens?
If our ability is taken from us.
If our ability?
Yeah, is taken away from us.
Fantastic.
Does
that mean happiness is taken away?
For most people, yes.
Well,
if they're a piano player.
But maybe it's Krishna's plan is to teach you what real happiness is instead of the other kind. And that's happiness. Hari takes away and then gives the real thing. When he's specially kind to take your ability away or whatever it is away. Your wealth, like Prabhupada. And then give. That's real happiness. You okay? You want to hear a nice story? Okay. Give the microphone to somebody else. Saint Francis. You've heard his name. Christian saint. Someone shared this story with me. He had an assistant that kept a diary about his life. I forget his assistant's name, some Italian name. So they were going from one place to another place. And all along, Saint Francis was saying what true happiness is, what people think true happiness is, isn't not true happiness or true joy. There you go, true joy. It was the thing after thing. There was an hours of long journey. Now, I've told this story as if it's a sadhu, but it was St. Francis. So, and his assistant kind of was puzzled, you're saying what true joy isn't. What is true joy? Could you explain that to me? So St. Francis said, we've been journeying all day, and towards the end, it was notional, and towards the end of the day, big storm comes, becomes very cold, raining like anything, we become all muddy and cold, and we get to the monastery where we're going, and the man comes to the gate and says, who are you? And we say, we're from that place, and we just would like dry clothes and a place to stay and some repast, some meal. And the man says, I don't believe you, you're thieves. Get out of here, and slams the door. Okay, that's true joy. And his assistant, they're still walking, and says, huh? And then, without being prompted, St. Francis continues, and so we sleep underneath a big tree, and it's downpours of rain, and the whole ground is wet, and we're flooded, and we're hungry and tired from travel. We can't sleep because of that condition. We go back when the sun rises in the morning, and the same guy's at the gate, and he says, you're thieves. Get out of here, I'll call the police. He slams the door. That's true joy. So now, true joy is when it doesn't look nice, and you're inside, you're joyful. That's true joy. That was the message. And Mother Teresa says the same thing in one little saying. When you, her words, this is a Teresa, Mother Teresa saying, when you know what you are, you know, kayami, not who you are, but what you are, in the most extreme cases of good fortune and ill fortune, you're contented. That's true joy. So now, most people don't think that way, as you're saying. But that's what the standard of real... So most people don't know what real happiness is, or real joy is, or what Krishna consciousness is. They have another idea. But some people have a real idea. And they can be in that space where it's real happiness. It's right in Bhagavad Gita. When one experiences that, anything can happen. The lotus that's untouched by water, etc. Lotus leaf. You have something? Anyone? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, yesterday evening, you really gave a very fantastic answer to that question about meditation. And you were saying, sound conquers the mind.
Yeah.
And then this morning you were speaking about Giridhari Maharaj making a comment about how the consciousness behind the behavior and the quality of the chanting is not there. And so he's really focusing on japa retreats.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether this is a universal experience, but personally my experience is... You know, there's this strong training to intellectualize experiences of life. You know, living in Kali Yuga kind of disconnects from the heart, and it's very
big time, yeah.
Requires a lot of mental processing and intellectual processing almost all the time. And then making the shift from there into this process of meditation that's, you know, about mercy, and it's, you know, chanting from the heart, almost seems like so foreign, even after so many years. I'm requesting some guidance on how to make that shift from just intellectualizing and, you know, sound conquers the mind. Even that for me, trying to practice that this morning was a very intellectual exercise.
It's a very what?
Intellectual or very mental.
Well, that's our conditioning. But, you know, interesting, some people aren't like that. No, many people are like that because that's our condition, that's our training. We've been trained up to do it. That's what we know, it's the territory, not just this lifetime, probably many, many, many lifetimes That's why we got the training in this lifetime, because Krishna is rewarding our propensities, our desires. So now, your question is, how to unwind from that conditioning? The short answer is bhakti. Right here. It's only Krishna that can do that. That's Kaliya's yesterday's verse. The swabhava can be taken away. The psychophysical nature can be taken away by Krishna. Or, Kapiladeva says, chapter 25, canto 3, look up the verse, you'll find it. It's really easy to find. Bhakti alone can dissolve the subtle body. That's the psycho. But the psycho, you know, the psychology is connected to the body that we have. That they're it's a package. And if you dissolve the subtle body, the material subtle body, you still have a gross body. You still have those past experiences, but they're not influencing you. Instead, it's spiritual desires from the heart. And then here's a third reference. Go back and listen again, because you are good at listening. Go back and listen again to From the Heart. It was here at, you know, the Festival of Holy Name. That's one place you'll find it. And it's, I've been speaking about it a whole bunch in other circumstances. Excuse me, it wasn't Festival of the Holy Name. It was Gitanagari. But then I just took that same, literally took the same presentation and converted it into the next. No, maybe I did. Was the festival chant from the heart? Same message. So it's Rupa Goswami's teaching. This, it's at the heart level, the alignment of the body, the mind, and the heart. At the heart level, it's who we really are. It's our intent to please Krishna. That's from the heart. And that can align the mind and, you know, the subtle body, and then our behaviors. So that alignment message of Satchinandan Swami is right in the lecture or the presentation. If you like, I can send you the PowerPoint so you can look at it while you're hearing and go through the slides one by one. I don't know if the video has the slides side by side. It does, so you don't need the slides. But I'll send it to you anyway. It's a cultivation. That's right. That's bhakti. It's a type of cultivation to get to the heart. Then, you know, the mind and the intelligence become aligned. And then we can hear. Because the material mind becomes, according to Rupa Goswami's teachings, stunned, inert, can't move. When we're hearing, the mind becomes conquered, the senses become inert. Okay, see the Prabhupada key.